Jess.
Hey, hey, Mare.
How are you? Welcome to the Meltdown Mom Show, everybody. I am Meredith Gordon, and I'm here with my partner in crime.
Jess Sanfilippo. That's
yeah.
me.
Yeah, that's her. Mm-hmm. We are here in the living room tonight talking about women in comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why am I so off this week?
Oh, good. This will be great.
Perfect. A fucking meltdown for sure.
What happened?
I have been dealing with man cold and child cold all week.
Oh. Now, is it a real man cold or is it like a hangnail turned into a 3-day bout of anguish?
You know, day one, I was like, oof, this is a milker.
Oh.
But day two was kind of like, oh, shit, I have to take care of you.
You have 104 right. fever. I guess you're
yeah,
not pretending.
Right. You're hot sweats. You're clammy. Right. Get out of the bed type. Yeah. So
did you give him a bell?
No, I just told him to go on the couch.
Now, is your husband the kind of person that really like wants you working for him and like bringing him stuff? Or is he just happy to like,
No. I mean, if he asked me, he knows I would say cute, but no.
Get it yourself.
Yeah.
And then your son got sick too, right?
Yeah.
That's
I took care
comment.
Of that, but not, he's an adult man. He does not need me.
Well, and by the way, in the living room also are two book girls, writers, Liz Astroff and Michelle Nader. If you hear two lovely, hilarious voices chiming in,
that's them, not us.
It will not be them. No, it will be them talking about their own man colds at home and such. Well, I myself had kind of a meltdown-y week, too. My daughter's on spring break. My kids are in two different schools, and they have each 2 weeks of two different spring breaks, which is designed to drive me into prescription drug hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal. I've got 6 more weeks of her in her school, and then she goes to his, and I will buy myself a handbag just to get rid of the two spring breaks, the different start dates of school. And it's actually been lovely to spend time with her just one-on-one, because the younger kids, I feel like she sees the back of my head in a car when I'm driving or somewhere, but otherwise, like, never talks to me because I'm always like, sure, I'll play with you, but I got to do the laundry or pick up your brother or whatever. And, but I can't get any work done. And then my older son decided, he realized he's Jewish and he's having an anxiety breakdown. And he not scary, like he doesn't need help yet, but he is...
he's practicing being Jewish.
Yes, exactly. And I'm like, this is way too early. But it's intense, like dealing with an anxious kid who... What started it was spring break was so wonderful.
He's depressed now.
Yeah. And I was we're never going to Hawaii again.
Yeah. Cause you were in Hawaii. I mean,
and by the way, my kids were dicks the whole time. It wasn't like it was the best family trip ever. Everyone got strep throat and he complained the whole time, but somehow he has it in his head that it was magic. And but he'll say things to me like, I just loved being with you so much. And I'm like, I'm not that great.
Like, I always do that. Yeah.
And we've never had like a separation anxiety after the school break thing. But I think there's some like school social dynamics going on the end of second grade. I feel like it's intense thinking about going to third grade. And I think that in kids' heads, that's like a big difference of time of they keep hearing how serious third grade is. And I couldn't do his homework with him last night. I had to send a note to the teacher that said, Balthazar's mom has no idea how to do this. So please don't hold it against him. So I don't know what's coming in third grade, but I feel
alphabet,
like
you couldn't handle it.
No, it was like,
it
was
the
like,
math?
How, it was the math,
letters.
The grouping,
oh, the math, oh,
the grouping.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind the grouping, the Singapore math with the 10. I'm like, why can't they just memorize things like we did?
Yeah.
It was fine. But, it does feel like they have some extra steps now, right?
Yeah. And we had to have,
this is Liz talking.
Hi. We had to have an 8-year-old girl call us and tell us how to do the homework. To help Jesse. By us, I mean, I'm never home. It wasn't me. And then his teacher gave Jesse homework to give us.
Oh.
And my husband and I did it and we fought over it. And it was,
did you get a
so
tutor?
Hard. We needed help. Like we couldn't, it was those the grouping. I can't do it, but I regressed so much and he figured it out.
He did.
We got like, it was a mess.
Well, I had to send a note to the school that said, I don't know how to do this. And please don't, like, I don't know what they do to kids. I don't know what they do to kids in second grade if they don't do their homework. I don't think they're like.
It's progressive, isn't it?
progressive-ish. Yeah. I mean, they still have responsibility. They're not digging in the dirt for 3 years.
Lunch.
But yeah. So so I've had a little bit of an intense household with my little Woody Allen. And he's just kind of been difficult. And then today he just goes, "Mommy, can I talk to you privately?" And I was like, "Okay." And we went into the other room and I said to my daughter, "Just, you know, hang by yourself. Your brother wants to have a chat." And he just walked over to me and like buried his head in my stomach and started to cry. And he goes, "I'm just really having a hard week." And I was like, "Oh, me too." And it was the sweetest thing. I mean, I still am like, by bedtime, I was ready for them to not be with me. But, you know, when I feel like when kids know they are being jerks, it's makes it a lot easier.
So you just say goodnight and close the door and walk away.
So Liz is a little intrigued because my kids are like, we're in my house right now recording. My kids are upstairs asleep. I put them to bed.
You close the door or the door's open?
Oh yeah, they go, I close the door.
Do you close their, you close them in their rooms and with the door?
I don't lock it, but I do close it. Yeah,
she does prop a chair.
There's no music or lighting. There's like
there's a cop outside of the room, right?
Okay. Don't come out.
Is there a bathroom light on? A nightlight?
Uh-uh.
They're just dark in there and they go to sleep?
Well, their eyes are closed. What do they need?
But they don't stay up playing in their beds?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
They're tired.
Right.
Okay. You're strict, right?
You're strict. You're
I'm not strict, strict, but I do run a tight ship. I also...
I don't have a ship.
That she says
I don't have any ship. Liz, I don't run a tight anything.
Well,
jeans.
It's totally... By the way, any order that is in my house is completely selfish-based because I don't want to be with my kids after 8, and it's not that I don't love
them,
but
either.
I'm so freaking wiped out. Yeah. I can't be trusted around children that late. Yeah. And so...
But you see them during the day. I don't.
That's the thing. If you're like... You guys work... So Liz and Michelle are here, they are... Fancy comedy writers.
Oh, come on.
You should see the costume jewelry.
You should
very fancy.
You should see the limousines that pulled up here. So they are both two of the fabulous writers on Two Broke Girls. You guys have worked together for what, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, on and off.
Like you're not 10? Writing partners, but you're kind of each other's work wise.
Like 12 years.
Oh, absolutely, work wise.
12 for sure.
Did you work on Caroline in the City together?
No, I was an assistant on Spin City when Michelle was on Spin City, but then she hired me on Married to the Kellys in like 2003.
Yeah.
And Kath and Kim was your...
the Married to the Kellys bomb. You guys are impressed, right?
Kath and Kim was your show, Michelle, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked with her on... I worked for her on that, and we worked together on King of Queens. We've always been together.
Yeah, we always stay together.
And then Charlotte Payne.
Because she's very talented.
So is she.
Oh, my God.
We work very well together.
So do you guys like... is it kind of a like a thing if one of you is in the hiring position, you'll always try to get the other on?
If I were ever in a hiring position, like maybe, I don't know if she'd want to work at Starbucks, but I definitely would hire her, but she always hires me.
Well, it's just, maybe that's whatever. But, for some reason I have been in a position where I'm like, yeah, that we have to get Liz Ashtroff because she's the funniest person I know.
And Liz is the funniest person other than Jess that I know.
She...
I want to include the whole table.
Oh, thanks.
I don't want to say Liz is the funniest person I know. And you're like, oh, okay. Oh, so
I'm
that
not
was
on
fun.
YouTube. No. Not at all on YouTube or anything. But
there's time.
I don't know.
We might be old for it.
Yeah, we're old for it. Are we old for it?
I personally can't
be on screen.
You can.
On screen,
you
can. No.
You could, yeah.
But, I was on Whitney and then she brought me onto Two Broke Girls.
Yeah. And she's been really funny. Can I say this goes out to Prince?
Oh my God. Everything. I forgot.
Yeah. We were going to talk about,
because I'm really upset.
We're fast and loose here,
Prince.
Michelle. We will talk. Yes. You know, I feel like Prince was the sort of soundtrack of my, high school, college days. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yes.
And, where other celebrities like, I wasn't a Michael Jackson person. I recognize the world's Michael
Thank
Jackson.
Thank you. That's why I'm here. Yeah.
But I wasn't a Michael Jackson person. But I feel like Prince was so talented and dynamic and
a good person also.
Yeah. He's a sexy motherfucker. That's all I can.
I know. And
Shawnee is in love with him too.
I thought he was going to be my future husband. And now I feel like my dreams have been It's washed.
You could still get him.
So I used to work with a girl.
He's probably like a lot shorter than you though, right?
Yeah. He could like, yeah, he could sit on your lap and it'd be comfy.
That's
it'd
fine. Be cute.
I used to work with a girl back in my many shitty job days. I used to do data entry from 4 to midnight.
I remember that.
Oh, it's brutal.
Everybody's bragging tonight.
Yeah. Literally, it was like sitting there 4 to midnight typing insurance policies. And one of the girls was this gorgeous, gorgeous African-American girl with this amazing body. And he did a contest for that most beautiful girl in the world. And she won it. And he like flew her to Minneapolis and like filmed the video. And
she had sex with him, right?
I was, you know, she wouldn't answer.
Did
I was like,
she came back.
She did. She came back. She came back to data entry.
She came back to data entry.
I hadn't, but I had to. Oh. But like,
why would she come back to data entry? Didn't she get anything from that?
I don't know that the purple one did as much for her as we may have. You know,
no, I know, maybe not.
No. But she did win that contest, and she wasn't like a modelly girl like a Giselle, where you're gonna have a modeling career. Right. She was like
just a beautiful girl who, yeah, and his height. Sex with, yeah,
well, yeah, I mean.
Do you think that, first of all, he was found in his elevator, which means he had a big house.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever heard Kevin Smith's whole thing on going to Prince's house to meet with him?
No.
Kevin Smith did that. He used to go around to colleges and give like his Kevin Smithness for hours, and has these amazing stories about like John Peters and all these Hollywood kooks. And one of them is his story about going to Prince's house to talk about a project. But I think, and I will embellish the story because I don't remember completely, but I don't think he ever saw Prince. Prince had like speakers where he would speak to him through, like he was watching, and he would just hear like, tell Kevin, you know, whatever. And like
The Wizard of Oz?
Totally.
I love him.
Amazing,
I love
right?
him. I love him.
Remember
so
Wendy
much.
And Lisa, and there's the water warming
oh
up?
Oh my God.
It's terrible.
And Apollonia.
Apollonia.
Oh, she hot on that bicycle like that.
That is just
with that leather.
What do you think Sheila E. is doing now?
Weeping.
So well, you know, Vanity is dead.
This year, Vanity died.
That's right. Oh, yeah. God. You know what? Everybody dies.
Yeah.
It's usually comforting to me to think that. Like, we all end up dead. It's going to be fine. It's this not going to be fine.
This one was rough.
Yeah, this is rough.
I was crying.
You didn't
cry at all.
Oh, yeah. You cried, Michelle?
I cried.
When you said that you were really upset about it, I thought maybe you frowned.
I didn't go to yoga. You know what? I was so upset I didn't go to yoga.
You missed yoga because
of it? That's true. That is a true story.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Wow.
I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah, that's how,
I wouldn't.
Rough it was.
I mean, I totally would. No.
I'm in denial about a lot of things, though. Like, it'll hit me in a year.
That David Bowie died?
Yes. That's another thing. Oh, my God.
And the wrestler, China. I mean, this has been a big week.
China. She was trans?
She was in Prince's elevator. No, not in his elevator. Different celebrity.
China, she was a wrestler, and she was on, did you ever watch The Surreal Life with Vern Troyer?
When he peed in the corner
with Greg Brady.
I like to know that Liz and I watched the same shitty TV.
She was on Howard Stern a lot, too, but you don't listen to him. Yeah.
She was a transgender? Is that true?
No. She just was very built.
She was very built and very surgeried.
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly. I don't want to speak for the dead.
She had a lot of surgery.
Built. That's like what we used to say when we were. She's built.
She's built.
That's so East Coast, Long Island.
Built. Okay, so.
She's mint.
So I've known Liz for like, since you moved here, which is.
Like 18 years.
Yeah, 18 years ago. Liz is the most. I don't know a person that can give one liner like you do.
Mm-hmm. You would, though.
What?
I mean, if you knew.
Funny people.
You need to know more people.
No.
If I left
my house.
If you walked down the block.
On the fucking internet.
If you go to Starbucks, right over there.
And my relationship with you is the sum totals. We go to the same yoga class where you don't actually speak to people.
Right.
But what I love about Liz is she's, it's like you have sonar. And if there's something obnoxious happening in the room, you will laugh out loud, and it's like you're connecting. I always feel like I know, like Liz and I are talking through eye rolls, thought bubbles, and the occasional like upside down meeting of the eyeballs.
Right.
Sometimes about your brother's groans.
My brother groans, and Meredith pointed out that when he would groan, I told you the story. When he would groan, I would also make a noise, and I said, no, I don't. That's not true. And then we were in class together, and he was like, ah, and I went, because I'm so embarrassed.
It's a yoga class. There's people doing freaky breathing.
But that was crazy. That's crazy.
No, it's like he does it twice.
There's one couple.
He got yoga shamed, though. I mean, he got groan shamed for
it. And then Vinny stuck up. Vinny stuck up for him and told him to, and you weren't there, but he had the whole class take a deep inhale and then let out the biggest groan they could. And I've never seen Jeff
and Liz
happier.
I'll just say for our listeners, Liz's brother is a very successful comedy writer as well, and couldn't be a nicer guy. Like, he's not the guy who warrants groan shaming.
No,
you know what I mean?
He's not that nice, but he's
pretty
he's
nice
kind of
but
dick,
like
but
he's just going to yoga. Like, he's not the guy who needs to be picked on.
He's also always in like the most unfashionable muscle shirt and shorts.
It is a class full of like very very fit gay men though. Yeah. So it's like
Corey goes to
he doesn't
class.
Need to try you know he doesn't need to dress up.
Jeff, someone told me that my brother was seen at the Warner Brothers gym in a faded red muscle shirt with mesh on it and horrible shorts.
Are you sure it was him?
At the gym. Yeah, he dresses horribly. He just can't. Like, he can't. It's just funny.
He's a creative.
Yeah, but it's just so funny that he... And he's anxious about it.
And and Michelle and... I've just met tonight is already hilarious. And so you guys... Because we want to chit-chat about...
Right. A work.
Well, work. Maybe a little. I feel like people really, really... I'm always interested in female comedy writers because it feels like there are so few of them.
There are none.
And you guys are both so successful.
We just tried to hire a lot of people. It is hard to find women who are, experienced but still have a fresh, voice. And it's hard to... it's not just... hard to find great women. It's not hard to find anybody that's really
funny
that we like.
But don't you think
we don't like terrible.
I did poorly. I will preface this by saying, Jess, but I did stand up for a few years and would always get the comment, "Oh, you're funny for a girl." Mm. And first of all, I hate the term "girl," even though I use it all the time. But like, I'm a grown up. Mm. But there was always a disclaimer. And there was always sort of, you're the girl comic and I don't think men have that. Mm. And I'm sure in your profession, we need a female writer
we just came up against that. Like we were,
you guys are currently hiring writers.
Well, we were hiring and it was very hard we met a lot of men and we met like 4 women.
And is your goal, do you set out each season if you have spaces to fill, do you say we want to get women in here or do you just want to get the best people?
It's funny because we actually were hiring and we had a couple of like maybe 4 spots to fill. And I woke up that one day and I was like, Liz, we need to hire women. This is 2 broke girls. Like we're just hiring all these guys. I don't want all of these guys. And I love guys. And I don't like to think of in the way that some people do think, oh, men are this kind of funny, women are this kind of funny, or everybody's the same amount of funny. But I think for 2 broke girls, we're writing about women and we like to populate the staff with other funny women because otherwise it does, the DNA of the staff becomes too male oriented. And I feel like that we lose some of the feeling of the female voice. And I don't like to think of it in terms of male female, because I think when I first started in, I remember Ben Franklin said to me, if electricity gets going, you could be good on TV. When I first started in the 90s.
Were there a lot of women? No.
No, there weren't. I had a partner. I had a writing partner when I first started on Caroline in the City. And it was really, there were 100,000 comedies on the air. At that time, it was a golden age of comedy or something like that. And I remember that that's when they started to think, oh, well, we need to hire women. And we were kind of token women on the staff. And then I realized that they thought that we would just be like story people. Ugh. That was the thing, story people. And I remember...
And is that like in the hierarchy of writing, that's not the good part?
Well, it is. I mean, it's it's essential.
It's so important.
It's essential. But, you know, joke people are considered, I mean, it's comedy. So, you know, if you can craft a joke, it is much more seen. You know, it's on the page.
Right.
And so that's quantifiable as opposed to, you know, I came up with this story. And
you never want to be in the story room.
Yeah, that's basically your one step away from being fired.
You just go home.
No. I love story. I'm really passionate about like getting the story right because then the jokes are better. But anyway, I learned from those guys. I worked on Spin City for a while, and it was a bunch of guys. A lot of
so it made me like, not want to write either.
Yeah,
because it was mostly guys and. Like a fraternity.
They played basketball during the days. And
she'd be there overnight. They brought beds in.
They brought beds in.
What?
Yeah. In New York and Chelsea Piers.
Yeah. When they brought the futons in, I was like, oh, no, this is good.
It's not summer camp.
You stayed, but it was an era of like when I started also, my first job was on Jesse and we stayed until it was just because he came from a friend's writer and friends used to stay overnight. And we would stay, and it was a given that we were going to stay twice a week until like 5 a.m.
Like an investment banker.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And for nothing. And then you come in and you're gross and you're so bloated and you ate so many things that you can't even, and you can't look at the other people because you said things that were so embarrassing. Yeah. You saw each other at your worst. And then you're just like, you see yourself coming back to work. And then a lot of years of shows that just were like, you would just see that the cleaning people would come and then the sky would change color.
We gave one of the cleaning people a scene to write at one point at 4 o'clock in the morning. No.
And like, it was good.
Hey, how are you with jokes?
It was good.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, we're going to pause for 1 second to pay a few bills. Thanks.
That was fun. What was that, like MailChimp?
I don't know, but you'll hear another one.
Do you remember that from Serial? MailChimp?
Yeah. MailChimp. Okay.
Well, you want to hear the other one while we're here?
I didn't.
Okay. So,
I didn't see it.
You didn't listen to Serial?
I didn't either.
Michelle,
I didn't listen to it.
Oh my God, you guys would love it. And then you have to watch the Saturday Night Live sketch. That makes it all like even more worth it. Did you listen to Serial?
I didn't. I didn't understand what it was.
I
was confused and I didn't know if it was real or not. And I got scared.
Very real.
Listen
to the first one. Michelle, I'm not kidding. You guys, listen to the first one. It's so good.
All right, I'll watch it.
It's like the Jinx.
As good as this, or are you saying
it's not as good as this? But it's like the Jinx. It's like the Jinx as like told by Sarah something.
All right.
Oh.
It is amazing.
Okay, so
I'm in mourning right now, so I don't think I can really
listen to it.
Michelle's wearing maybe not this week.
Purple. Should we wear purple?
I was going to wear purple.
Oh my God. Purple rain.
Like I didn't have anything.
When Doves Cry, that video was.
I want to be your lover. Kiss.
Groundbreaking.
Raspberry beret? I mean, anyone, come on.
It's not ironically, or not at all, my spin teacher at Blazing Saddle Sherman Oaks, she's been gaining a lot of weight lately, but she...
wow, it's working.
She's gotten bigger and bigger, but I keep going back. Anyway, so she did a full Prince class the other day. Not even
what a coincidence.
That's very, I mean...
I bet she'll be doing
it's her
that
fault.
Again.
It's her fault.
She'll be doing that again tomorrow.
I don't trust her.
I don't trust her.
Does she moonlight as an elevator?
I don't trust that.
Spin in the day.
I don't
elevator.
Trust her.
I'm
as
with
a spin
you.
Teacher.
Do you find that women are might be less likely to go into comedy, and some of that might be the hours? And if you're, I mean, men have children too, but sort of the, there's a point where a mother probably is going to want to see her children.
Yes.
I am. I know. Liz remembers this. We were on a television show with a male lead, a very chubby, fat
male guy. Lead.
And he...
I knew who you were. Liz whispered, like, mouthed it as if I didn't know. Christine Applegate? Who?
A very hungry male lead.
Yes.
Very hungry. That ate at Ralph's for dinner.
We ordered dinner from Ralph's one night.
I was like, I'm out. That's it. I'm done.
Fish and it was on for 59 years.
Yeah.
It was a funny show.
It was
funny.
He is funny, but
he's very funny. But he's
sometimes I just pick your jokes out,
really,
on as if joke. Everyone in there isn't funny. But I'm like,
they're very much funnier than me. But go on, Vicky, go ahead.
But I was pregnant when I got that job, and I had the baby. I had Bruno, my son Bruno, and I was like, I had to go back to work at you know, like he was a month old. So I brought my nanny in and I started I would nurse in the writer's room, and those guys, they were going to kill that. They were going to kill us.
They'd never seen babies. They all had kids, but they'd never
seen babies.
They also, she had a pack and play in her office and like beanbag chairs, and it was really cute.
And a child.
Yeah. But I mean, nobody told me I could do that, but I was just sort of, I was a kind of like a
pioneer.
Let's say I was a pioneer. Yes. There we
go. How would you feel now as EPs? Like, if
somebody did that?
Well, are you less likely to hire someone who's pregnant or newly married, mm-hmm. a female? And is there that prejudice against men? Like, if he's going to have kids soon, yeah. It's, you know, no one really thinks that way.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't think. I also, when I was on Charlotte Pain, I had Phoebe, and I purposely didn't have a C-section with her like I did with Jesse. Sorry. So that I could go back to work sooner. And that there was no pressure on me except my own. Like, Michelle was like, take off as long as you need. And I insisted on writing a script while I had postpartum depression at home and wanted to drive into a lake. And
I'm not laughing at you.
But I felt guilty for having to be gone. And there was nothing put on me, but I definitely felt guilty.
No, I know. That's true. But you do. With those jobs, you know, you have to produce every week and you feel responsible to, you know, the staff and, you know, your job. But as women, you know, you have to do that other stuff too. And I did the same thing. Like, my son was 9 pounds, 2 ounces. That's a big baby. That I was like, don't, you can't cut me, doc.
He didn't cut you?
No.
Oh my God.
And you're tiny.
Yes.
Well, she's tiny. That's a big bit. And so, because I even in that moment, I was like, I got to go back to work. And I did.
Oh my God.
It was crazy.
And people do look at you. I mean, at least back then, like, I had a job interview on the pilot of a very successful show. And it would have been a great job. Well, not a great job, but it would have been a great show to work on. And the showrunner, when I was meeting him on the pilot, said, when are you going to have that baby? And I said, in August. And he said, of this year, which was a little weird because he had kids.
And he's good at math.
And he's good at math. But anyway, he goes, well, how long would you need off? And I was like, not long. And I said, it was Phoebe. And I was like, if she's, you know, I could come like 2 weeks.
I can come in when I'm crowning.
2 weeks. Right. And then.
Mason's horrified.
And then I would, by the way. And then I didn't get it. And he wrote me an email saying, if any positions come available, we're going to hire you. We ran out of money. But then it really was probably because I was 6 months pregnant in my meeting. And he kind of freaked out. He's like, well, how long would you need off? When are you having it? And stuff like that.
I mean, they're sort of valid questions.
You're not allowed to do that, though.
No, right? You're not allowed to. But it is sort of valid to want to hire someone that can be there.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, we make allowances for life. I mean, that's
really
the difference
between
women and men.
When you're running, running the show, are you more...
Yes.
Like, if someone comes in... What if one of your writers comes in and says, you know, it's the winter concert...
Yeah, they go.
Or is it like...
Which is there a winter concert?
No, I mean like...
Oh, shit.
Like,
I missed the winter concert.
But if we have something, we go.
Yeah, we just... I mean, like, you know, people get married or people get sick or people's parents die or they're sick or...
You get 20 minutes.
It's a TV show.
Don't you think also there's some element of the more you want people that are going to like go and live their life and have something to write about.
That's another thing.
They don't want just people that are in the room the whole time.
I think that it's important to keep everybody, everybody's a human being. So I think that you can really still be a human being.
She's amazing about that.
In the television world.
Yeah.
Cause I think that I tried to do it. Like, you know, we always try to do it when we're running their show.
And decisive. And then there are some people where it's a culture to live your life there. And you always want to work with people who like going home. So
do you find a female showrunner is more likely to be that person?
I haven't really worked. Have I worked with a female?
I don't
showrunner?
Like women.
No.
You don't?
No, I'm kidding. No. I'm kidding.
I was like,
no,
we love
women. No, I'm kidding.
But taking a turn for the worst.
But you don't want to work with someone who doesn't want to go home. I mean,
a
I don't want to go home.
Man,
but I want to go to work out.
Yeah.
I want to make like a 6:15 spin class. Yeah. I'll call her. We'll get off. We have really good hours because we're pretty fast. And we're decisive and we know it's only going to get so good. So we, but I'll call her. We'll get out at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock and then I'll text her at 8 o'clock at night and be like, I still haven't gone home. I'm at the Grove. Like, I just can't go home for a long time. A lot of time. My kids think that I'm working all the thing. Yeah. They don't know what hiatus is. They're not allowed to know.
You're like, I made yoga 4 times today. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't leave.
This is really fit for a girl that's always working.
Todd tried to sync. My husband tried to sync phones with me so that we could always know where the other one was. And I was like,
oh, that's terrible.
Moving my phone out of the way. I wouldn't.
Don't find my phone, no. Please. Yeah, no.
Why? No, I don't want to know where he is either. But anyway, yeah, it's a different. And people work shorter hours now, wouldn't you say?
No.
The new girl, they have, can I say that?
Yeah.
They can say anything.
They,
yeah.
Oh,
say
they had sleeping bags. Yeah. They had sleeping bags for the first few years where they would all sleep over all the time. And then the showrunner girl, Liz Merriweather, who's young, she started dating one of the writers. So then you never want to. And then like even.
So they were sleeping in one sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were sleeping in one sleeping bag.
For everyone.
But even like Scott bags. Silveri and Shauna were married, so there was no real incentive to need to go home. I think people who like, and if it's their lives, if there's their entire lives, it's a drag.
Let me just do a little business.
Okay,
hold that thought, because you know, our show is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. Did you know that, Michelle?
I did.
You learn something new every day. Okay, so for less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. So if you want to sign up for Loot Crate, go to www.lootcrate.com/meltmoms. I'm looking. Yeah, Melt Moms. Yeah. And our coupon code is meltmoms3.
Oh, well, I'm going to get that. You think I can get some of that?
Melt Moms 3.
Yeah.
It doesn't come with residuals, but it helps pay our bills. So so thank you for me letting me do a little biz. Or as Ryan Seacrest says,
she's really good at that.
Really? So good. Yeah.
Very good.
When my mom said I had a face for radio, now I know what she means.
No, she's very fluid.
She nailed it.
Very fluid.
Wow.
Don't you think so?
Did she say that? That's very funny.
No, but I mean, I'm the most, I was an actor for a long time. A failed one. I mean, like really failed. I'm the most private person I know. That is a terrible career choice. Like, there's nothing about...
If you're private?
Yeah, like, there's nothing about, like...
And you worked for actresses, too.
Oh, you're really trying to dig deep. Don't turn this show on me. I was a celebrity personal assistant for one of my my many years of have every job in Hollywood you can.
Yeah.
I worked in a candy store, too, Michelle. It's not all glamorous.
No.
I'm not always podcasting in my living room.
You seem very glamorous now, though, doesn't you?
Yes.
I'm not at all.
Living here?
Glamorous.
Yeah,
your very hair glamorous. Is very nice.
Your hair is
my
nice.
My hair is very nice. Pretty, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks. Tracy Cunningham. Mesh.
Mm. Mesh?
Yeah. Oh,
good to know.
Yeah. She does all the redheads.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Morgan should go to her. We know a redhead. So it's a little too red right now.
Oh yeah, you saw that. I didn't see.
A poorly executed
Morgan Murphy
redhead.
Is very funny.
Morgan Murphy,
funny
is very
girl.
Funny.
She works on Two Broke Girls.
She worked on Two Broke Girls. She's leaving for the last season. Yeah. If it's the last season, it
well,
might not
we don't know.
We don't know if it's the last season. It could no, not be.
Could be.
But go for another.
Why
10
is she
years.
Leaving? We want
to
know.
To pursue other. She's been there from the beginning, and she wants to just try to do other stuff.
How does that work? You've been there since the start, right?
Three. No, she's been there. Since
I've been
the
there
pilot.
Since the pilot. Yeah, and. Yeah, so
it could go 10 years.
It could go 10 years, yeah.
That's
we
good,
had,
right?
I mean, for a while, we had mostly women. It was me, Liz Ashtroff, Liz Feldman, Morgan Murphy.
Molly McAleer.
Molly McAleer.
Do you know
was
her?
There.
She's a podcast.
Jody Marchenko was there. It was a yeah. lot of women. I mean, yeah. we only had a couple of guys, which was great, and a female writer's assistant. So, you know, we tried them. And then, of course... The girls on the show, Kat Dennings and Beth Bears, are
amazing,
amazingly funny actresses, and they eat male.
They do eat male actors. Yeah,
like we can't really find people that can sort of go toe to toe with them.
That's nice.
That's awesome.
It's awesome, but they really do like what did Michael say? Mulch?
Chomp, like chomp, chomp,
chomp, chomp. They just really do. They and they they disintegrate in front of them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They can't, like, their voices are weak. Their everything. It's like really,
like, they're good at, in their audition, and then all of a sudden they're like,
they
putty.
Get there and they're like,
they just,
because they're so strong.
Because they're so, so strong. And it's, and you know, that's the thing is, like, when I did first start, we couldn't find, like, you know, hot, funny women. That was the sort of idea. And I was like, I bet you
Wait,
could.
What? They wanted hot, funny women to write the show?
No. Like for guest parts. Like,
oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And like, oh, nobody could go against Michael J. Fox. Like, this one wasn't funny or that one wasn't funny. And there were.
Like Connie Britton.
Yeah, well, she's pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty. Isn't that crazy that she wasn't that funny? But she's such a good
Connie,
actress.
But she's such a good actress. But
she's on Nashville right now.
Yeah.
She's amazing, I think.
Very amazing.
But there aren't that many funny women.
I mean,
actresses on shows. Do you really mean there are? No, I don't.
Is that because they're not, there aren't the shows for them, or because they're just not?
They just don't exist.
I think there aren't the shows for
Backpedal
them.
Liz, backpedal.
I think there aren't the shows for them, because look at Amanda Peet on Togetherness. She's great.
Yes.
There aren't enough shows for them. I know, it makes me sad.
I just started
Catastrophe
watching it.
Is fantastic.
It is.
So is it? I haven't watched
it's
that.
It's really good. It makes me mad. It's so good.
So, you know,
Tina
Fey was just getting interviewed for when her movie came out with Amy Poehler, and the interviewer was saying, like, this is such a great time for women in comedy. She's like, it's a terrible time for women in comedy. Like, it's never been worse. You know
why?
I didn't read that far in the Variety article, but
what? I'm not sure that that's true.
I don't think so either. I think there's so many more
many
shows
more
now,
parts.
And like YouTube and everything. Like to, for
well, there's
for
less
women.
Gatekeepers certainly. If, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, probably in TV. But she basically was saying that, like, you know, and like they said, the interviewer saying to her and Amy Poehler, what do you guys fight about on set? And she's like, do you ask Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg that? Like, right. It's, you know, men don't get that kind of...
catty, like there's cattiness
and
between women.
Yeah. She said, you know, basically the women are still getting paid less and still having to scrape and fight for less.
Yeah, well, that's
what's
I'm
unique
sure
about
true.
Our show, too, is that it's two really, and Jennifer, like three really funny women driving it. But also, you never, when you're doing a pilot or something, you never get the note that there's not enough female appeal, right?
Yeah,
like there always has to be
that?
Young male appeal always. Yeah. Right. That's like the big thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think Lena Dunham gets that?
Gets that note?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she gets any.
No, I don't think. I think that they give them
free everything.
More Bush. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
What do you think she'll do next?
I don't know. That'd be exciting.
She's
going to
publish books.
Oh, yeah. Her and Jenny Connor. Do you read that in People magazine?
What, Noah?
They're in People magazine that they're publishing a book.
Oh, no, they're starting their own. Like they're going to have their own publishing house.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you read Lenny Letter?
I do. Yeah.
I don't.
I like it. I like her.
I've never read it.
I love her. I love Lena, and I love that, you know, they're doing other things.
Yeah.
So they're starting a publishing company?
They're going to have their own sort of offshoot of, like, where they're
like
publishing.
Like a random
probably
house,
from, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, probably from Lenny Letter. Yeah, it's strong. Like, I mean, what I was going to say is that in the 90s, when I first started, there weren't a lot of, like you said, gatekeepers that were looking for female roles because of a lot of them were men. Like there aren't a lot of female showrunners. That is true.
Why is that?
True.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why certain things get put on the air. Like, I mean, that's always going to be a mystery that nobody will ever understand.
There's no rhyme or reason to that.
But I guess, you know, there are more men doing it than there are women.
That's true.
And so the chances are greater that a guy will get something on the air,
and then he'll hire his friends who will probably be men.
Correct.
Yes.
There are, you know, but I do think that there are more parts now for women in shows that are driven by women, and there are more people like us that are going to do more shows like that. So, you know, it does take time to sort of balance things out, you know, in terms of male, female, like, you know, voices, different kinds of voices. And, you know, network television doesn't cover it all, obviously,
right.
But that's what cable
that's
and
true.
Streaming
and that's
is
a standard
for.
We go by.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of women on cable.
Yeah. Do you think people like Melissa McCarthy and what's her nugget? Amy Schumer, who are not sort of typically, although by the way, they always talk about Amy Schumer's size. I think she's a six. Like she's not.
She is?
Yeah, she's a size six.
She's a size six?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, wow. That's not that big.
It's too saturated. I've seen her too. She's kind of gone away a little bit now though, right?
No.
It's a little much.
Yeah. Every minute. Like Melissa McCarthy for a while.
Yeah. I like her so much. I never get tired of her.
I think she's a nice person.
She is?
Yeah. I've heard.
I like when you guys talk about people, like when you said Lena without a last name, I'm like, she knows her. Yeah. They're fucking friends. She knows her.
Yeah, I don't know Melissa McCarthy. I don't know her last name.
I don't know either of them. I might have said Lena Dunham.
Mike and Molly was right across the street from us, and that's the cute thing about like these little shows.
Yeah,
it used to be like a college.
We're in houses. Campus.
Like you know, oh, that's Mike and Molly over there. When I first started, it was like, oh, Seinfeld's over there.
Were you on Radford?
I was on Radford.
Because the Radford lot, CBS Radford, is very much like a college campus.
Yeah,
and you see so many people you know, and it's like, I like that lot a lot.
Yeah, that was when we were, you know, first starting out.
And, yeah.
You know.
When we cared to talk to people. But now, also, a friend of mine worked on Mike and Molly across the street, across the little way. And in 3 years that we both worked across the street from each other, we saw each other maybe once because we just wanted to get the fuck out of there at the end of the day. Because
you work so much, you want to get home.
I almost ran her over once.
That's Melissa? Yeah.
No, my friend Julie, who worked on Mike and Molly.
But Liz, I don't know, you guys haven't heard this yet, but I can't believe we haven't. She has the most distinctive laugh. You must know this.
Yes.
And so people...
They hear me.
People will often say... I've heard you laughing.
Yes. And on TV, someone once said to me, did you work on Becker? Yeah. I was like, yeah. Did we work together? He's like, no, I've heard you laugh on TV. And there have been shows. I know I laughed at a joke on Becker, but there have been shows that I've been told not to laugh.
Yeah.
And very sternly on King of Queens, I was not allowed to laugh.
And boy, that show sounds like fun to work on.
It was hard.
It was real rough.
But there were...
we're not going to lie.
He's going to be on again. So, but they... there were certain shows where I got in a lot of trouble for laughing.
I have a few more questions. One is, did Leah Remini ever try to recruit you into Scientology? I just need to know.
No, but she was going to put me on a Scientology diet once. That was after you were gone.
You're half of her.
And I was pregnant.
She's half of her. What diet is that?
But I was pregnant and she had lost all that weight. And she said, when you have the baby, I want to put you on a
when you're done being Jewish, I'll make you a Scientologist. Yeah.
And I said, what diet is it? And she's like, from
L. Ron?
From the, no, she said the celebrity, what's it called? The
celebrity center.
Celebrity center. Yeah. And I was like,
that went well for her.
Remember Leah was like, so it was such a crazy atmosphere and Leah liked us, you know, but we were like kind of like the outsiders on that staff for a while. Then we won them over.
Yeah.
You brought bacon or something.
I don't know why.
I don't know what happened.
We wore them down.
But
she gave us necklaces on this set one day.
For Christmas
and not the other writers.
But there was another girl. There was only one other girl on the staff who'd been there from the beginning. And we weren't there from the beginning. And she gave us diamond heart pendants. And she didn't give the other one.
I love her.
That girl knew she was going to the story department and then she was out?
She was like, she tried to have us fired, that girl. So it didn't make me that mad. But I was like, are you going to wear it? And Michelle was like, of course I am.
Everywhere you go.
Can you clip it?
I think I still have it somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was diabolical.
Have you guys been on staffs where you're the only female or one of two?
That was a lot of guys. There was one other girl, on that staff.
How is that? What's that experience
on
like?
On Last Man Standing, I was...
The last woman standing?
There was one other woman, Linda.
And do you work with the same... Is it the same five women you're working... Like...
No.
No. No, no,
I mean, but we bring people on to Two Broke Girls sometimes, but it's usually different.
Yeah, but for a while there was just, you know, you would be the token woman on the staff. And now there's more of a ratio of women and men.
And Dharma and Greg, were there a lot of women?
Dharma and Greg. Did I work on that show?
Bing Bang. Bing Bang. Bing Bang.
Bing
Bang.
Big
Bang doesn't have a lot of women.
No.
Like a couple. Yeah.
And the late night shows have almost none.
A lot of men. A lot of joke writers, I think.
A lot of men and a lot of women that act like men, wouldn't you say?
I would say that.
Yeah.
Ladies, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Every week we do a thing on this show called the Meltdown Mom of the Week. It could be a dad or a mom that's sort of in the news or did something really great or not so great. Uh-huh. And feel free to chime in.
Okay.
Is this...
Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to...
Oh, you're gonna
not great.
I don't remember. Hold on.
Oh, so
she just had a baby, right?
She just had a baby. John Legend's wife, Chrissy Teigen, who is a talk show host herself, just had a baby, which is lovely and adorable. And she was just quoted as saying she's never seen her husband's Oscar-winning movie Selma, and the conversation became like I think it was. Oh, it was on Khloe Kardashian's now canceled Cocktails with Khloe show.
Canceled?
Yeah.
This is a lot of news right now.
No, you
we're
hear
all
it
down
first.
On us right here.
Yeah. You hear it here first.
Okay. We break stuff here.
All right. Yeah. This is really...
We just break shit.
We just break shit. Always.
So, and I guess Kanye West was on the same show, and he said, if you did that to me, I would be calling, you know, he's basically said, if my wife did that, I'd be calling her sister and saying, can you do some... Tell your sister she needs to be wifely. And
see the movie?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So part of me thought, well, maybe she didn't want to see the movie.
Yeah.
And the other part of me thought, well, it won an Oscar. He won an Oscar for his song. And you can go ahead and spend the 2 hours and the $10 and see your husband's movie. So I guess it begs the question, how supportive do you have to be of your spouse's endeavors?
I don't think you have to see it. Has she heard the song?
She didn't even hear the song.
If she didn't hear, I guess she should hear the song.
Just hear some of the song.
I don't know. No, I don't
she's
think
she's got to see.
You think
movie.
She's got to see the movie? I guess. Yes.
Well,
yes,
this would be a conversation I would have with Liv. She's like, if
Tom wants
Todd,
me to see his thing, do I have to? Can I watch half?
Do I need to
I
see?
I never
Todd's
saw
movie?
His.
Did you see Poor Todd? You saw.
I
you
saw watched Poor Todd. Todd. I watched most of Poor Todd, but that's yeah.
Todd, her husband.
Her husband Todd directed a. Yeah.
Did I send it to you?
No.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
So I'm going to watch it, but you're not?
I've watched most. It's hard for me to watch because I wrote it and I wish I rewrote it. So it's like looking at the sun if you want to like.
I understand.
Yeah. The sun. Yeah. It's like I can't. I wince when I watch it. But I've never seen Supernatural, but he's only been on that show as a producer for 12 years.
Yeah. You're going to get around to it.
I'll see it.
You'll see it.
You could watch it.
I should watch it. I absolutely should watch it. Yeah. I have no idea what he does. But he does post-production, which doesn't count 100%.
I have a friend who's a screenwriter, and I would say working but aspiring. You know, she's not writing Ridley Scott movies, and her husband's never read anything she's written, and refers to her work as a hobby. So there's probably some issues there. But I mean, sometimes I don't want Justin to read stuff I write because I just don't. I don't know. It feels too personal. Like, yeah. I have a blogging career, so I turn out a lot of content. He doesn't really have to like read everything.
Oh,
I do.
Right. You don't expect him
no,
to.
No, but
read
like
yeah.
When they're about him, I do expect him to.
yeah.
No, he's not here.
Oh, I'm like, oh.
Oh, he's at the Soho House yucking it up. No.
Are you guys members there?
No, he's with a buddy. He broke in. No,
what's the other place? Naya?
Naya's the new restaurant. Yeah. Yeah.
And what about that Gwyneth club she's opening where the Hustler store used to be? She's opening a private club.
I've heard about that.
Like a Soho House, but for
Gwyneth for kids, Paltrow? Where you bring your kids, right?
That's going to be gross.
I don't know.
No, I thought it was going to be with kids.
Gwyneth Paltrow
but you would know
is?
Better than I do.
No, I only like, read terrible news, and so I know things like that, but I don't know what's happening in like.
That's
going
to make me mad. It's going to be like snotty kids. Let me ask you.
Oh, fudge is
you
lovely,
a mom
by
question?
The way. Oh, fudge is lovely.
I heard. Okay, I heard I would hate it because it's fancy and a little pretentious.
Well, I went there with Margot to spend time with her, and she saw the kid room with the lovely, like adorable 20-year-old that plays with her. And she said, Mommy, I'm going in there now. And I never saw her the whole time. So that was kind of
that's
lovely,
amazing.
Except I wanted to spend time with her.
Right.
But
so what happens in there? What
they do art they and they paint
kids.
And they like.
And you eat.
Yeah.
But it's too old for like Bruno.
Yeah.
It's,
I wouldn't have taken my older son.
Yeah.
She's 5. So.
Oh, you wouldn't take an 8-year-old there?
No.
Okay.
It's very girly and lovely and like porcelain.
Cute.
And
I see it on Instagram. That's all.
Oh, I'll have to. You follow it?
I don't.
She follows a restaurant.
So.
Yeah.
You know what? My frozen yogurt place started following me.
I don't like
Twitter.
That.
It was so that's sad. Creepy. It was sad because I followed it for a while and then it followed me.
Now you can never go there again.
Now you can never, you have to break up.
I have to break up.
And follow them.
Can I ask an advice thing?
Yeah.
Which I was going to ask you.
This is right up our alley.
My brother, my son had a play date with a kid the other day who came home with him from school. And this kid's parents are kind of celebrities. I mean, the dad is much and they have a lot of money, but the kid got into my nanny's car and told her that her car is disgusting. It is a 7-year-old boy that her car made fun of her car and told her that she and said, you must have no money because this car is really gross and ugly.
What?
And she told me, and I'm friends with the mother. And I don't know. And she texted me later and she's like, thanks for today. And I was like, you're welcome. But I didn't know if I should say something to her. She would kill him.
She would?
Yeah, she would kill him.
I don't know.
I don't think she would kill him. I think he got that from somebody.
But I think that she would. Well,
that's very astute.
She's very, he did from probably like flying like private or something. But I think that she's very, or likes to fancy herself someone who's very hot, has a very high.
I personally wouldn't say anything, but I wouldn't pick up that kid again.
He can't come home with it. He was really making fun of her car and saying, you need to get more money because this car is gross. And I told my kids that if they ever did that, they would be, they were horrified. My kids were dark. That's awful. Like making fun of a nanny's car.
She should have said, what kind of car do you drive?
Yeah, exactly. He probably has one. But it was gross. And it's also why we didn't go to a fancy school. So I guess it's everywhere.
And it's not just LA. There's like...
Kids are mean.
Yeah. And shitty. And they watch TV. They read books and they see stuff. And
our kids aren't mean. My kid isn't. No. My kid's a Buddhist. But I mean, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Buddhist, yeah.
Yeah.
Come back for that show.
Yeah. We'll do that show for sure.
You should do it with Bruno.
Yeah.
That'd be cute.
Ladies, I can't thank you enough. Jess and I really appreciate you for coming.
You're amazing.
You're really cute. I like them.
Yeah, me too.
I know. I kind of want you to stay. I mean, not now, but...
No, we have to go. She's
Michelle's car is already on.
I know.
So. Michelle's car is on. She has one of those
self-driving cars.
Oh, I love those. Hovercraft from Star Wars. Thank you, ladies.
Well, thank you.
Not only are you funny, but helpful and informative.
Yes.
And how many more Two Broke Girls are on this year?
Oh, I
Three?
Don't know.
The
there's one on
tonight.
Right now.
The Nail?
The Nail.
Oh, yeah.
Nail
with Patrick the blood, Harris. Yeah. And then the... Next week is is not a relationship one, and then the next one is the last one. So there's two more after this.
I'm impressed that you knew that.
Wow, Liz.
I don't even watch the show, and I knew that. Isn't that good?
But does your husband?
You know what? No. No.
He doesn't.
So our show is produced by Meltdown Comics and Mason Booker, who's sitting there patiently in the corner, and Adam Silverstein. Thank you very much. I'm here with my cohort, Jess Sanfilippo.
That's me.
Where can they find you?
They can find me everywhere on the internet at Shagalippo. You can just read what that word is. I didn't swear at you in a foreign language.
Rhymes with hug a hippo, I've learned.
It's much more dangerous, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. She's very funny. So check out our YouTube videos. Funny. And I'm Meredith Gordon. You can find me at Bad Sandy blog. Oh, no, just badsandy.com. It's a blog.
And, you do that every time. Can I just say you do that every time?
It's because it's my Twitter is Bad Sandy blog and my, because it was taken, someone else took. And when I started, a Bad Sandy is like someone like in Greece, she looks sweet. And then at the end you find out she's not sweet.
No.
But when I first started the blog, I would get, God forbid I just used my name. But when I first started, I would get a lot. You can see on a blog where how people find you and what words they search. It was all filthy porn. Like, and I'm like, No. And they were all in very, very conservative countries. So I was like, they are so disappointed to find like today, Justin said this to me. And like, my like so first mad. Person rants about being white in LA. So, so the porn people were very disappointed. And now I get less of them. Anyway, thanks so much, ladies. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.